welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 31st of August 2025. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be reading from chapter 22, from verse 23 right through to 30. That's Matthew 22, from verse 23 to 30. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had it." Yeshua answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word that you've placed in our hands. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it and apply it in a way that will be a blessing to you, that will be a blessing to us, and help us to be a blessing to others. Holy Spirit, the agency of God on the earth, here, now, in us, and with us, please inspire this teaching. Inspire us to hear, to listen, and to obey for the sake of your precious kingdom and our wonderful King, Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. When we read scriptures like this, there is a habit that we can so easily fall into. We read about the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and a thought, without even being consciously aware of it, crops up in our minds, and we say, "Well, we're not like them. We're not like them." And thank God, we're not like them. But you see, the scriptures were written for us, to help us. And sometimes there's a warning. You see, just because we think that other people have made a mistake, that doesn't mean that automatically we won't make that same mistake. A little bit further on in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the occasion where the Lord castigated the scribes and the Pharisees. He harangued them, and he spoke about how they had maligned prophets of old. And their answer was, "No, we don't do that. We never did that." How ironic. Here there was a prophet in their midst to whom they were going to do the exact same thing, even worse. So you see, we've got to be careful. We read a scripture like this and we think, "Oh, well, that doesn't really apply to us." But let's just consider it for a minute. The verse I'd like us to focus on is this one. Yeshua answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." The title of this message is Scripture and the Power. And I need to explain something here. The point is this. These Pharisees had made a classic mistake. They had the scriptures, yes. They had the law. They knew it back to front. Their job was to apply the law in their communities. And that's how, in a sense, they fed themselves, by knowing the law. So they knew the law, indeed. But the point the Lord is making here is that knowing the law on its own is not enough. Moreover, how we approach the law is very important for us to successfully understand it. I'm going to explain this in a bit more detail. You'll notice he said to them, "You did not know the scripture." All right, now first of all, you and I, on any given subject, before we make our decisions, etc., and live our lives accordingly, we need to make sure that we understand the scriptures as best we can. We've talked about this a lot. And once again, let me just say that it's dangerous to take one scripture out of context, or just to go and snatch a scripture that might apply to you, but it equally might not. The greater our understanding of the whole sweep of the Bible, the broad context will help us, because scripture is interpreted in terms of the context and a few other things. But I'm not going to speak about that so much right now. It's all very well having a good knowledge of the scriptures. And you see, these Sadducees had that. They tried to use the scriptures to prove what they wanted to believe. They did not believe in a resurrection. Once you're dead, basically. The Pharisees were a bit further along the road and said, no, there is something afterwards. There is a hereafter. This argument goes on even today. Many people say, oh, well, when you die, you die. If you're a materialist and materialism is all that you know about, when you're dead, you're dead. So you see, this is not an old debate, but they were making a mistake. Even though they used the scriptures, there was a fundamental error, and we've got to be so careful of it. They knew the scriptures, but they had discounted the power of God. They had discounted the power of God. In other words, what had happened, and this is what we often do, they interpreted the scriptures in terms of their own understanding, their own human understanding. And that's a very dangerous thing. It is, in a sense, making God in our own image. When I was teaching at a school, there was another teacher there who very openly challenged the Christian faith. And her big argument was, well, if there is a God, who made God? She wasn't the only person and isn't the only person that uses this argument to justify a lifestyle, by the way. But anyway, she said, if there is a God, then who made God? Now you see, that argument falls right into this very same trap. We humans always know that something begins, something makes something else, and so it goes on. We are finite beings, we live in a finite world, we think with a finite brain, normally. Can you see? There's a beginning and the end. We take that thinking, that mentality, and now we apply it to, guess who? Almighty God. And you see, the answer to that question is actually the fact that it is really a very foolish question. Why? Well, if you ask who made God, you're not talking about God. You're not talking about the God of the Bible, the one who is all in all. He tried to describe who he was to that shepherd Moses out in the back of beyond, and he couldn't find human words that would express himself. Even today, there's a big debate on what the word is that he used, but basically he was saying, I'm beyond everything. I'm all encompassing. You see, we think God has a beginning and an end. No, he is the beginning and the end. In other words, he's forever, eternal. Now our brains battle to grasp that, living as it were in this world system. But now to say, oh well, because we think that something must be made by something, because that's what we see around us. The fruit comes from the tree, the calf comes from the cow, the money comes from the bank, or wherever. Everything's got to come from somewhere in our thinking. And now we approach God and we say, oh well, he can't be God because where does he come from? Can you see? We are underestimating God. We are not attaching to Scripture the understanding of his almighty power. You and I will not be able to read the Word of God effectively if we first don't accept his omnipotence. Let me just say that again. You and I will not be able to read the Word of God effectively if we don't first accept his omnipotence. I'm going to explain this in a bit more detail. You see, when we read the Word of God, if we don't understand the God who wrote it and accept who he is, what we read will not mean much to us. This is the story of the world and the church, sad to say. Let me put it this way. Imagine you and I had a massive trunk in our lounge. One of those big boxes, and it had a big lock on it. Inside the box is treasure indescribable. Now, as long as that box remains locked, that treasure, to all intents and purposes, is of no benefit to us. In fact, the treasure chest, as it were, is a big hindrance, and we probably think of getting rid of it. Right? The treasure is there, it's available, but there's something blocking it. Now, let's take the word of God. That comparison pales into significance. No box of treasure would ever, ever amount to one penny's worth of the value of the treasures contained in God's word. There's no comparison. But as much as the treasure is in the word, it remains locked if you and I do not have some understanding or are not prepared to recognize the one who created the word. Those scriptures, as powerful and as wonderful as they very well may be, as far as we are concerned, are of no use. Can you see? What unlocks them? Well, what unlocks the treasure is to understand God Almighty wrote these words. The Bible describes how the Bible was written. It explains that the Spirit of God moved on men and prompted them to write what they did. Very often when trying to help somebody to find salvation, to find God for themselves, we have to use, obviously, the Word of God. In a sense, we'd like to explain things not from our perspective, but straight from the horse's mouth. One of the big challenges is, of course, oh, well, how can I rely on the Bible? Men wrote it. Yes, men did write it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's quite an involved teaching, and I don't want to get into the weeds about how to interpret the Bible, etc., etc. But you see, in a situation where a person desperately needs salvation, it needs to be explained in terms of an infallible source, being the Bible. What I very often say to them is this: listen, I don't have time to explain right now how the Bible is a reliable document, it's infallible. But what I say is this so often: if there is a God, can you not accept just for now that if he is who he says he is, if he is all-powerful, he'd be able to put in our hands a document that we can rely on? Can you see the logic? If there is somebody all-powerful, then it's quite possible that he could get it to us, just for now. Obviously, one can explain, and can I just say something? Having studied the Bible intensively for the best part of half a century, every time I approach it, I discover something that just confirms yet again how perfect and how comprehensive and how awesome it is. But you see, you can't explain that in 5 minutes. My point is this: if that person can just accept, yes, what are they saying? Yes, I recognize what? The power of God. Can you see? Once we accept that power of God, then we can read the scriptures and they can change our lives. Let me say that again. If you and I are prepared to just accept, not understand, please, you and I, this side of heaven, will have no cooking clue of the power of Almighty God. The word says people cannot stand in his presence. Humans cannot look at him and survive. The power of God is above and beyond any conception you and I might have. And yes, he does reveal himself to us here and there as the Holy Spirit thinks we're able to handle it. But you see, we're not talking about knowing completely how powerful God is. To be sure, if we had any idea, and the day will come when he will reveal himself, and then every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, they will not have a choice. But this side of that dispensation, we do have a choice, you see. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about in our hearts having the humility to recognize if there is a God. And please, this is not stretching our imagination or asking us to compromise our intellect. We are suggesting that there is a God, and if he is God, he is powerful enough. The moment we're prepared to accept that, then we'll be able to say, well, if he says I need to be born again, and that's what I have to do, if I do that, as far as he's concerned, I am his child. Can you see? Sad to say, many people say, no, I can't really accept that because the whole mentality of, if I can see it, I'll believe it sort of thing. And you see, in that position, we cannot receive the scriptures. They will not change us. That treasure remains locked in that box. And it doesn't just end with being saved. This mentality has got to capture us throughout our Christian experience. Every time we approach the Word of God, we've got to recognize that God has written it and that He is able to perform that which He has said. As the Word describes, we need to approach the Word with fear and trembling. Can you see? But if we don't, that Word, the precious Word of God, will just remain a mere, as we say in English, platitude, a pleasant thought. It won't help us, you see. The Sadducees were saying, oh well, it's impossible for somebody to be married to so many women in heaven. In a way, they were saying, oh well, this is the law and it challenges the thought that man will survive after death. The Lord said, no, your thinking is too limited. You don't accept the scriptures and you can't accept them because you don't recognize that God has got the power to raise man from the grave. Can you see? There was a man, as I've said very often before, he was a Christian and he was even filled with the Holy Spirit at one stage. But he read in the Bible the account in the Garden of Eden where a snake spoke like a man. His academic mind said to him, it's impossible for a snake to speak. Therefore, the Bible is wrong. It's merely a collection of myth and legend. How often have I heard that expression? People read the Bible, they read things that are impossible to the human mind in the natural, and the conclusion is, oh well, it's just a book that is written by people who were misguided, in some cases ignorant for the most part, mere agriculturists or whatever. Can you see? What's the problem? They dismiss the power of God, the supernatural power of God. If God says in His Word that He parted an ocean, we've got to think to ourselves, if God is God and He made the earth, parting an ocean to Him is as easy as you and I parting our hair, assuming we have any. But you see, because of that mentality, oh well, it must be myth and legend, what happens? The door slams shut on the Word of God, and all the treasure there remains beyond our reach. We read scriptures where God speaks about healing. All things are possible to him who believes. A man with a withered hand, his hand just extends. We can read that and say, oh well, that was in the old days where funny things happened. Or we think of, oh well, maybe they didn't write it properly, or maybe it was just something that scientifically they couldn't explain then, but really he wasn't. Can you see, on and on and on and on and on, trying to explain God and His activities in terms of our intellect, as limited as it is. Now you see what's happening there. We are discounting the power of God. If we didn't know the scriptures and we didn't know that God could heal, well, that's one thing. But when we see that He can do it, He has done it, promises to do it, describes the fact that He has already done it, when we in our minds say, oh well, myth and legend can't really be true, God couldn't have possibly made the world and the universe so big in 6 days, so please, do you think I'm a fool? Can you see? The Bible describes it. People in their cleverness become foolish. Is it foolish to really believe that there is a God? And if there is a God, He can do whatever He wishes according to His Word? No, it's not really. And you and I, if we walk this walk with that attitude, expecting God to do stuff, what happens? We start to see Him do stuff. You understand? That treasure chest slowly but surely becomes more and more open to us. I'm encouraging us to develop this mindset, Please understand, even though we do not understand how God could possibly do something like that, and I'm fully persuaded that the other side of heaven will have lectures on how God, using laws that we don't understand, parted the ocean, healed the sick, created new limbs, made the blind to see, etc., etc. We'll have lectures on it. We'll have Noah himself describing the flood, and then the Holy Spirit will come along and explain how he opened the earth, you see. So we can understand it, but not in this dispensation with limited understanding. But you see, we're not saying that we have to understand it before we can just say, God, you can do it. We must combine what he has said with an acknowledgement of his power to do it. It's a heart attitude. And can I say something? It becomes a habit. Coming from this world system, I was very cynical as a person. It's taken quite a while for God to straighten out my unbelief and basically my rebellion. But you see, as we go along and we continually make a habit of deciding, this is what God says, I accept it. He is God after all, and I am not. And for me, that's not a very difficult thing to decide. It was at one stage, but thank God he's dealt with my heart, and he still is dealing with my heart. I pray that he won't have such a challenge in dealing with other people's hearts, especially those who are listening. May we have soft hearts towards God. He doesn't expect us to understand everything, although we can ask him, and he very often can explain some things to us, and we mustn't cut off the idea that you can never understand God. But we can understand one thing. He wants us to do well, and his word is there to help us. And if he says something, he is well able to perform. Remember Abraham? He clung to the promises of God. And it's a beautiful thought that despite a few lapses here and there, he held fast to the promises of God. Why? Because he recognized that the one who had made those promises was well able to perform. Amen? Well able to perform. He wasn't like the Pharisees that tried to explain God away with their limited mind. He understood what God had said, call it the scripture, but he combined that with a recognition of God's power. And because he was able to do that in the face of every challenge, ultimately he came through victorious with God's promises in hand, and as the word says, he became the father of our faith. May we have the same heart by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen.